Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of So NWA, the podcast about serving others in Northwest Arkansas.
That's right, everybody. We're your hosts, Enrique and Juan Carlos. We're both proud natives of Northwest Arkansas. Growing up here, we've seen the community evolve over the years, and we're here to capture and share the stories of the people who make it so special.
That's right, guys. Each episode, we sit down with the movers, makers, and everyday legends shaping life here in the Ozarks. And we talk about anything from real estate to restaurants, local legends to hidden gems and more. But also, folks, we're not just podcast hosts. We're also local real estate agents helping people find their place in Northwest Arkansas.
That's right, guys. So whether you're from here, you're new here, or you guys just love a good story, you're definitely in the right place. If you ever need any help with real estate at all, buying, selling, or just exploring the area, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You know, we'd love to help. It's an honor to serve our clients and our community. You can find our real estate information on our Instagram, SoNWA Podcast, or send us an email at SoNWApodcast@gmail.com. But let's go ahead and get started into today's episode.
Folks, today we're sitting down with someone who has dedicated her life to serving women and children right here in Northwest Arkansas. Our guest today is Natalie Tibbs, the executive director of both Restoration Village and Children's Advocacy Center of Benton County. From stepping into the works her parents started to leading two nonprofits that bring hope and healing to families, Natalie's story is one of faith, resilience, and community impact. We're excited to talk about her journey, the mission behind these organizations, and how we can all play a role in supporting this incredible work being done. Natalie, welcome to the podcast.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much and allowing me to be part of this.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. You know, it's again, I feel like I'm beating a, what is that saying? Like you're beating a,
beating the bush or?
Yeah. Like beating on a dead horse. I say this all the time. Right. But you know, I think time for all of us is pretty valuable. And so the fact that you're willing to share an hour with us this morning, a beautiful Thursday morning, of course.
Yes.
We're really grateful. So thank you so much for taking
thank
time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. It's an honor, really.
Yeah. No, thank you. Natalie, you know, we'll get into it here in a second of the work that you do, but we're really excited for this episode to hear these stories and how it started. But guys, what do we think of the rain that happened yesterday? I don't know. Did it rain where you guys were at?
Yes. For me, it did.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it rained heavy.
Yeah, you mentioned you're in real estate, and yes. So we were jumping in the car to drive around Northwest Arkansas to look at some houses because we're actually in the market.
Nice.
And of course, it starts to rain, and it's, you know, so fun to look at houses in the rain. But I guess it helps you understand if you like the terrain.
Very true. That is true. No, correct.
you don't want to buy a house and find it puddles or pools all in the backyard or
whatever. It's in a floodplain it's covered in
for sure. Plenty.
Yeah.
I was showing a house. When was it? Because we got rain a couple of days this past week. I think it was, when was it? Like, was it Tuesday?
I think it was
Tuesday. Tuesday, right?
Very little, but yeah.
Very little.
Do we normally get rain in August? I mean, I realize it's August or Arkansas and we can get all of the above.
I would say
normally no, but
you know, maybe climate change is just pushing the seasons further into the year. But yeah, we were showing a house, and again, it was pouring rain for like 20 minutes.
We went to the beach last week, and I guess there was a hurricane that was starting to brew just to the east. And so my six-year-old yesterday, when it started raining, she's like, the hurricane's here.
Oh,
it followed us.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
That's too sick. That's funny.
Oh, man. What hurricane is that one? It's Hurricane
Aaron.
Hurricane Aaron, right?
Yeah.
I've been seeing.
Which I work with an Aaron, so I don't know if there's any, like.
Any correlation.
Any correlations, but.
Oh, well, that's good. It sounds like both of y'all had a good week. We were at the beach last week, Natalie and the family, and then Enrique, you were looking at some houses.
Some clients for sure, serving our people for sure, man.
I like it.
What about you? How was your week?
Busy. I would say we're preparing, my wife and I were preparing for our arrival of our son here in the next few weeks. When this podcast comes out, this episode comes out, it'd probably already be like a month or two that he's been born or something like that, right?
Nice.
We've been preparing the home, we've been putting things away, we've been getting any last minute items that we may need in the first month so we don't have to leave that first month or whatever. But of course, I think everyone will say you'll still need to go to the store, but just preparing as much as we can. But busy with work, real estate, looked at some houses with my client as well.
Nice.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Exciting time. So, but overall good. Yeah, I cannot complain. So,
yeah. Natalie, you mentioned you had a 6-year-old. Is that right?
Yes, our youngest is 6.
How many children do you have, if you don't mind me asking?
7 total.
7 total children. Wow, mm-hmm. There you go. And what are their names, if you don't mind sharing? And yeah, how old are they?
So our oldest is Kaylee, and second oldest is Heaven. Both of them are my husband's, and they're older, married. Heaven has actually a baby, so I have a grandson.
Nice.
But then third is Isaiah, and he is in the Air Force. So he's in Washington State serving our country. Oh, and wow. Then at home, we have Abigail, who is a junior this year. Sophia, who is a freshman, so just entered high school. And then we have Toby, who is 9, and he's a third grader. And then our youngest is Bella. She's 6 and in the first grade.
Oh, so she's just starting her... Well, yes. Kind of, right?
Yes. So yeah. Kindergarten last year. Yes, correct. And then this year she's at the big campus. And so she just thinks she's just, trust me, she thinks she's big man on campus.
Oh,
she is classic youngest child syndrome.
There it is.
The world hilarious. Revolves around Bella. Mm-hmm.
There. Yeah.
Oh, man. I can already imagine. I mean, for us, we only have 3 of them, 3 siblings. It's me, I'm the middle child, then my older sister, and then my younger brother. And I think when he was younger in elementary school, it was similar in that way.
Yes.
So shout out Diego. I don't know if Diego even listens to our episodes, but if he is, he'll be listening.
So shout out to all the youngest children out there. Yeah. I'm the youngest baby, so I can relate a little bit.
Yeah.
The world does revolve around me sometimes.
It is, yeah. Only child there. Yeah, only, well... I have my sister.
Only child.
Yeah, but I grew up with just my parents. Mm. And, you know, I feel,
so you
I feel
get all the roles.
Something like that.
You get like to
that.
Be like oldest, middle, youngest, yep. Only.
It is. It's challenging.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
So, Natalie, we have some rapid fire questions for you. Okay. You know, pineapple on pizza. Yes or no?
No.
What?
Mm. Oh, man. I don't know.
I mean, I could eat it, but I'm not going to choose it.
Okay. That's fair. Hey, you're open-minded.
I'm open-minded.
There we go.
If I see it on the pizza, I'm still going
to
eat
it. If I'm hungry and it's there, we're eating it.
Interesting. All righty. If you could swap jobs for a day with anyone, who would it be?
Oh, I would have to say Alice Walton.
Ooh, that's a good pick.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, how awesome would it be to have the ability to have the resources to truly, you know, see a change and then be part of that change, and be able to bring the people around to the table to make that effective change. And, but just, man, can you imagine what she's seen, what she's experienced, she's, you know, been exposed to, and just the poise that she has. I've never met her, but I can imagine she's probably a very genuine, kind person, but also a really strong, determined woman as well. So,
yeah, for her, and then of course other people involved to do what they did with, you know, the company Walmart. Of course, yeah, to take it to where it's at now. I mean,
it's unbelievable what they've done.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And then she just opened the new school of medicine. Is that
exactly?
I think they call it Awesome.
Is that what they call it?
And I want to work for a company with the acronym of Awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the Alice Walton School of Medicine.
Awesome. That's cool.
That is cool. Yeah.
What they're doing is just phenomenal. I got to hear someone who works there yesterday speak on just the change that they're bringing to the healthcare system. And his passion is because he wants to see it be better and do better. Mm. And I mean, nobody can argue with that.
Yeah, for sure. The very little I know about it is the holistic approach of their medicine, right?
Yes.
Which is something I think a lot of people are more conscious of now. For years it was always, we'll prescribe you this medication and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then you hear these stories of, well, I went this direction, a holistic way, and different change of eating and fitness and all these things. And now people are getting healed and different diets and stuff like that. Sure. So I'm very interested in that too. But like I said, I don't know much about it, but I think that is probably one of the futures of medicine, I guess.
Yes.
One of the routes. But
yeah,
they definitely interest me. So that's cool. Such a good answer. Yeah. I love that. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Okay, okay. What is your guilty pleasure TV show or movie?
I don't watch a lot of TV.
Okay. You can throw a book in there.
But I'm going to regret putting this out there. if Virgin River...
Oh, my gosh.
I am looking forward to the new season, and I do binge watch it when it comes out, and I'm not ashamed, but I'm ashamed. my husband hates it.
So one of our previous guests, Christina Meister from Grace Hill, also mentioned Virgin River and how I and my wife has watched it too. Yeah. And I just, if people are not aware of it, basically it's like a small town in the mountains. It's beautiful. It looks beautiful. I don't know where
I want to go.
I want to go too, but not stay. I'll tell you that. Because there's always something happening in that town.
Well,
for being a small town, it's like, dang.
It's a lot of drama.
There's a lot of drama.
And it's so cheesy.
It is. It is. So
I can admit it, but I'm still suckered in. So
hey, but they got they're like six seasons strong.
I know.
Five seasons strong.
Yeah. Because of people like me. Yeah.
Virgin River. Got it.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Would you rather be always 10 minutes late or 20 minutes early?
Oh, I would rather be 20 minutes early.
Okay.
But in trying to be 20 minutes early, I will always be 10 minutes late. I don't know how.
Got to juggle the kids and the pets, right? I'm
like you, trying to find the keys last
week. Yeah. So before we started recording, I was talking to Natalie and I told her, because I was like a couple minutes late, I told her, hey, sorry I'm late. I couldn't find my keys. It was like 20 minutes I was looking for my keys. It's crazy.
where were they at?
In the most obvious spot, on the kitchen counter, of course. You know, I was looking all over the bedroom and the kitchen.
Looking at all the places they should have been.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I looked where the key hangers are. I was like, well, they're obviously not there. But
yeah, exactly. All righty. If you could eat only one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh. Pizza and wings from the rail.
Ooh, gosh. Mm. That's a great answer too. Mm-hmm.
The wings are pretty.
The wings are just... We have tried to find something comparable in other states, other areas, some of the other restaurants locally. There's just nothing that compares.
What sauce?
It's just so good. Oh, I like to mix the blue cheese, the garlic parmesan, and the Louisiana hot sauce.
Okay.
So you can mix them both, but then dip it in their blue cheese.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Really, really hungry now, guys.
Hey, I really love garlic parmesan.
And yes.
You're talking about blue cheese, man. That is
so, but if you like them spicy, we used to do the Louisiana to dip it, but now they coat it in it with the garlic parm, and it is 10,000 times better.
Oh, I believe it. I believe. Oh, yeah, bussin'. That's what my brother
says. It's bussin'.
I don't know if any of your children say that.
They do. And I'm sure they would be very much not approve that I just said it.
As soon as they heard it, they just turn off.
They're like, man, just lost all the listeners.
Next question. Would you rather explore outer space or the deep ocean?
100% the deep ocean. I am fascinated by ocean life. It is just, I don't know that we'll ever truly know.
Yeah.
I mentioned we went on the beach last week, and there was a moment, one evening we saw an entire galaxy, and the sky was just so clear and there were billions of stars, and it was incredible. But then the next day I was enamored by every single wildlife in the ocean. And it's just, we saw, you know, dolphins, so many dolphins, and blunt nose, stingrays. Mm-hmm. And these weird little snake-like things. I mean, it's unbelievable what's in the ocean. I would love to.
Yeah, I'm scared of the ocean a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like the deep ocean.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, what do they say? I think like 15% or less, I think.
Has been explored.
The earth is like 70-80% water, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, something like that.
So that's...
There's some creepy things down there.
Yeah, because I mean, the things they have discovered in the deep ocean, they look kind of strange, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't imagine what hasn't even been discovered yet.
That's what I get. And I'm also scared of the ocean, but that's what I get for watching Deep Blue Sea with Samuel Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Just a big old shark on the loose. Yeah.
Yes.
I can't.
Yeah.
I'll take a lake, but...
Well, you know, dolphins come up, and for a second, you're like, is that a
Oh, it's true.
But then, you know, they've got that really unique arch. Swim, and so then you realize, okay, you're good. But yeah, that's always, you put your feet in there and you're like, what am I touching? There were these massive blue crabs everywhere, and they would pinch you.
Sometimes
you go to the ocean, it's the jellyfish. There were no jellyfish here, so we were thinking, score, there's no jellyfish and we're not getting stung. No, we kept getting pinched by these blue crabs. Like, we can't win.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
We are in their territories.
So. Yeah, I remember.
What is this foot here?
Yeah. I remember one year in Honduras, I was maybe, I don't even know how old it was. Maybe the last time I went, I was probably like 12 or 13. And we were at the beach hanging out with our family that day. And the water wasn't necessarily deep. It was one of those beaches where you can walk real deep in and it doesn't really get too deep. I don't know if you've ever been to beaches like that.
Yep. So you can go really far out.
Yeah. And so we were going all the way out. And I saw something in the water, and I was like, man, what is this? And I grabbed it. It was a crab, and it had pinched my fingers.
Yeah.
And I went, and I launched them across the ocean.
Yeah, you think it's probably like a really cool shell or something. No, it's a live creature.
Yeah, no, I remember the pain of my four fingers getting pinched, and I just lobbed them across the ocean. That poor little crab.
You sent it flying.
Yeah, I sent it flying by mistake, poor guy. But yeah, we just asked those questions again, you know, fun little questions, you know, for us to get to know you a little better, for our listeners to get to know you. So now we're ready to start the main discussion, the meat and bones, what they say, right?
The harder questions.
Yeah, for sure. So Natalie, you know, if you aren't originally from NWA, how did you move here? How did you find out about Northwest Arkansas? How did you end up making a life here in the Ozarks?
Yeah, well, I was born in Tulsa, so just 2 hours from Northwest Arkansas. But my family moved to Northwest Arkansas to start the shelter restoration village, and that was back in 1989. So I moved here when I was 6 years old. And so if anybody's doing the math, I'm still 25. Not born here, but very much raised. Like, this is home for me.
Right. Yeah. I can relate a little bit because I was about 8 or 9, I think, whenever we moved here. But we've been here ever since that age, right? So I don't really consider myself from Florida anymore. I consider myself more from here.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you both. I think the same thing. I was here 5 or 6 years old when I moved here, and this is home for me.
I mean, at 100%. That point, you're growing up like the rest of your childhood and then into your adult life.
Who remembers 2 year old? You know, like,
yeah.
I don't.
No, yeah. Yeah. Being 2 or 3, nah. Yeah, no. Maybe like the one random, super vague memory. Maybe.
Right.
Nah. Yeah. It's just here is home for sure.
So where were you born?
I was born in Glendale, California.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So you were East Coast, you were West Coast,
And now we're here in the middle.
And I'm Oklahoma.
Well, prior to Florida, I was actually born in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Literally, yeah.
I remember. So
from New Jersey to Florida to here.
Correct, yeah. Wow. I remember I was working this random job. It was like a part-time job a few years ago. I would just clean floors at night. And the guy who was like my manager or something, he asked me, he says, hey, where are you from? Where were you born? And I was like, oh, you know, well, I was born in New Jersey, but I've been here ever since I was 7 or 8. He's like, you're a freaking Yankee.
You're the Yankee. Wow, labels.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I don't even remember anything about New Jersey, man. Like, why are you putting that on me? But yeah, we've been a little bit.
Yeah, we keep threatening we're going to leave, but who leaves Northwest Arkansas?
Seriously.
It's pretty incredible.
Especially with all this, even more, well, it's different now, but we have access to so much, and there's such good people around here. Absolutely. It's really hard to leave. I will agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, it gets easier when you're at the beach. So with you in real estate, I'm sure if you ever travel, do you kind of look at the market and kind of explore?
I do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're classic. What would a house in this area look like? Yeah, so we love to kind of explore a little bit. And I'm telling you, some of the housing prices in Northwest Arkansas right now, I could get a beach house. I'm like, I mean.
That's pretty good. That's true.
Yeah.
Tempting.
Well, for sure. I mean, what I do is I'll look at the licensing requirements of that state that I'm in.
Okay.
like for real estate license. Yeah. So like, for example, if we were in Florida last, like almost a year and a half ago now, in Destin. And I was like, man, I wonder, I think Florida is reciprocal with the state of Arkansas. And I think from my research, if I remember correctly, it is. You just have to take, I think, the state exam and the law exam, if I remember correctly, and you can get your license because it's reciprocal in terms of the education requirements. So I was telling my fiance, hey, you know, it wouldn't be too difficult to get my license over here.
Yeah, so, see?
Yeah, we do that pretty often for sure.
I mean, I think we all probably as real estate agents, we have our MLS, you know, app on our phone to look at things in the market. But then the other one is, I think, Zillow, whether people, I don't know if they will admit to it or not, but I have Zillow on my phone. So that way I can just find the nearest house near me and then just find out what that house costs and just look at the photos in it or whatever, if I'm not in this area. But yeah, I'll look at houses and see pricing. And I agree. There's some, we're here in the Northwest Arkansas area. They're pretty high, a lot higher than they used to be. Yeah.
One of the ones we drove by last night was a three bedroom. I mean, I have a lot of kids, as we mentioned earlier, three bedroom, only like 3,200 square feet. I mean, I say only, I mean, some of these houses are 8,000. And it was still $1.5 million.
Oh, wow. For a three bedroom?
For a three bedroom. And no acreage.
We have like five.
Where was it? Like very central? In Fayetteville.
Oh, yes, really? Which I also thought was surprising because usually those prices are
really
right here. Yeah.
How close was it to the U of A? Was it real close to?
It was,
or like maybe downtown?
Towards Goshen area. So it was East Fayetteville.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. We didn't stick around very long. I'll tell you that.
No. Something that surprises me. There's a lot of houses. I kind of think when having more bedrooms, you know, like four or five, six bedrooms as you get higher in price. I don't know why I think that. That's just me, but.
Well, because usually more square footage,
you
know, for those larger homes. And that's what we've been looking for is a five bedroom. And yeah, those are just hard to come by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or it's a bonus room or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Bella Vista will do that a lot. I think they'll put it as like a two bedroom because it doesn't necessarily it's not considered a bedroom. I think it doesn't have a closet or something like that, but they can use it as a bedroom.
Yeah. Yes.
And then on top of that, the septic tank that is on might be rated only for like a two bedroom house.
Yep. We ran across that several times.
Yeah.
Actually.
So they'll do that pretty often. So that would be a piece of advice, you know, look at what septic rating does that house have. If it is on septic.
Well, the house we just we had made an offer. And during that process, we ended up having to pull out because of that exact thing, because the septic system was rated for only an 1,800 square foot house, but it was a 3,000 square foot house. Mm-hmm. And so a family size of six, there's no way we could have made that.
Yeah, you'd be having to pump that sucker every 3 to 6 months, or you just run into issues, drainage issues.
Well, we would have to limit the amount of water usage.
For sure.
And I don't know if you have been around teenage daughters. you don't do that very well.
Yeah. It's a little piece of advice for sure. Make sure if it is on septic, talk to your agent and see what they would recommend. Yeah.
Thank you.
So Nellie, you were saying that you guys are from Tulsa, you and your family, and then you guys moved to this area because of your parents opened up this Restoration Village. For the audience, tell us what that is and what you guys do and how you guys are involved with that.
Absolutely. So Restoration Village, as I mentioned, was founded in 1989, and it was founded as a faith-based long-term women and children's shelter. And so single women and moms of children would be able to seek refuge there. It was very unique in that most shelters put a timestamp on how long a client can stay there, but this one did not do that. And so long-term meant minimum of however long you need and maximum of however long you need. And so our family actually lived in the shelter. So when we moved here, that was my home, but it was also a shelter. And so people were coming and going. And so one of our residents that I recall, she was with us for 10 years. And it wasn't because it was free room and board. It was because of the amount of trauma that she had experienced in her life. It took a really long time for her to be able to have the stability and ability to become independent living. So out of the work at Restoration Village, in working with the children and then hearing these stories of these women and what they had experienced as a child, the need was recognized for the Children's Advocacy Center. Mm. And so my parents founded that in 2000. And so as a separate 501c3 nonprofit, that agency responds to allegations of child abuse within our community. And so it serves all children and families. Anytime there's an allegation of child abuse, children can be brought to that center. They can receive an advocate that supports them through that process, a forensic interviewer who is trained to talk to kids on their developmental level in a way that is legally defensible. So that interview can be upheld in court and through the investigative process. Mm-hmm. And so they're the ones trained to talk to the kids. So police officers aren't interrogating kids at a police station. Or we're not talking to kids in the locations where the abuse is likely happening. We want to take them to a neutral facility that's child-friendly and trauma-informed to have that interview done. But then we can also provide counseling services, medical examination. So we were talking earlier about the Alice Walton School of Medicine and how healthcare is becoming more holistic. Well, we've been doing that for 30 plus years across our nation from a child abuse perspective and trying to bring that holistic, multidisciplinary approach to this topic. And so that's what the Children's Advocacy Center does. It's kind of been dubbed the one-stop shop for child abuse. So a child and family only has to go to one place. And they're surrounded by all of the different professionals that can help them heal. And so I've been leading the center for the past 10 years now, and we brought both of them together. So we merged the two nonprofits in 2023 to be called the Children and Family Advocacy Center. Mm. And so we now provide, with that acute response to child abuse, we also provide residential housing. So Restoration Village, the name went away mm-hmm. in 2023, but the nature and mission did not. Mm. And we still are providing that residential housing that we've always done.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, the fact that from my understanding, at least with people who need, you know, housing and a place to stay, it's usually limited. Is it? Right.
Oh, it's incredibly limited.
I didn't even know that.
Is the same system? Is it? You, of course, I'm assuming you do limit the amount of people that can go into the home.
We do. So from a child abuse perspective, we can respond to all allegations. So Benton County has over 2,000 reports of child abuse per year, and you know, most people don't really think about that because you think of Benton County and how amazing Northwest Arkansas is and beautiful and all these resources and all this amazing infrastructure and mm-hmm. booming economy and people moving. I heard yesterday, 50 people a day moving to Northwest Arkansas. You don't think about the social service needs that our community still has, and that child abuse does happen mm-hmm. even here. Mm-hmm. And so over 2,000 reports a year. So our agency can respond to any and all of those. Mm-hmm. We don't exclude any of those incidences from receiving services at our agency. But from a shelter perspective, our focus is quality, not quantity. And so we're not able to house any and everybody.
Right.
And you know, the need, I mean, we receive about average of 7 to 10 calls per week of individuals needing shelter.
Right.
And not all of them meet our criteria, and our criteria is pretty loose. We try not to turn anybody away who's needing that, 'cause it's not like there's just all these options out there.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely more today than there were 30 years ago. But we you know, have to be really intentional that we're equipped with the ability to serve the individual needs of the client and that bringing them into our shelter among others who have experienced trauma, like the disruption and just the ability to communal living is hard.
Yeah, to be able to commingle with one another. Yeah, I think. You have to vet them.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
It's a triage process. And so you ask certain questions and it's hard because you when you're in the nature of serving people and meeting them where they're at, saying no, we're not equipped to serve you is like the worst possible thing we could say.
Would you say that takes a big toll on not just you, but people who are involved? Does that take a toll on them, I think, mentally a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no way to do this job and it not. You know, and when we're hiring, you know, we even try to prepare our staff from the very beginning. This will rock your world. This will be really hard.
Right.
You know, there's this good feeling that comes from helping others, mm-hmm. but most of the time it's heavy. It's really heavy work to hear these stories and to meet people in this because, you know, they're not going to be grateful in that moment. Right. You know, they're going through crisis and you're bending over backwards to meet their needs, but that isn't something they're going to immediately look at you and go, gee, thanks.
Yeah.
And so it is a very heart-wrenching line of work, but I truly believe the most rewarding.
Yeah. I mean, if you can find a way to impact those that you can impact mm-hmm. in a positive way and provide a service for them and be able to give them the right path, I think, to help with that trauma and whatnot, huge service for sure. I mean, I think those people, like you said, down the line, they're super grateful for it. I'm sure the lady that was there for 10 years with you, I'm sure.
We still talk to her today. The gratitude comes years later.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, I mean, it is often that we'll get a phone call or a note or something. I mean, yesterday, one of our residents made lemon cupcakes to give to the staff to say thank you. Like that's the stuff. You're like, okay, we are making an impact. And yeah. Sometimes it's small, but sure. But yes, I mean, we still hear from residents or clients that we served years ago to say, mm-hmm. hey, that small thing that you did, that made such a huge impact on my
life.
That's
amazing. Yeah.
That is. Oh, wow. You know, something that you said earlier was that it's that it was started from a faith-inspired foundation. Mm-hmm. What is the Bible verse that, if there was one, that it came from?
So there's a scripture out of Isaiah. And it talks about where will people go to be restored and who is going to make a difference in lives of others. And so that is really where Restoration Village was birthed from, is my parents saying, we will. Mm-hmm. We will create a space where people can go find refuge and find healing from, I mean, these are individuals who've experienced some really heavy stuff, and they shouldn't have to navigate that alone.
For sure.
And, you know, you've got, you know, children who've experienced child abuse and women who've experienced domestic violence and trying to escape that and rebuild their lives. You don't do that in just a matter of a few days. It does take time. And so that scripture is why Restoration Village was found and then why the Children's Advocacy Center was later brought to life. And then why I believe in continuing that ministry that we started 36 years ago, because the pain and the brokenness of this world hasn't gone away. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be there. And so how are we taking what we've learned from the past 30 years to evolve it to be what it needs to be today and how we continue to meet the needs that are there?
Yeah, I think you kind of answered this already, but you said that the cause for this came from that scripture, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I guess I'm curious, was there a specific moment that you realized you wanted to follow in the footsteps mm-hmm. of your parents aside from that scripture, kind of having a big impact on not just you, but of course, you know, your family and everyone else around you?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're 6 years old and you move into a women's shelter and you're hearing things like child abuse, rape, domestic violence, homelessness, and you're seeing the brokenness day in and day out, like that can't not make an impression on you at such a young age. And so, you know, there are definitely times in my life that I can think I had a choice of how I let that impact me. Mm-hmm. And I did not become this rebellious teenager, but, you know, I think it kind of came a little bit later in life, but it always felt so weird to not have this normal growing up. Like I wanted the single family home and, you know, I craved that. Like my friends had that and here I lived in a shelter and I just thought it was weird. And so there was a time of like resenting that, but then there was a time of realizing like how it's bigger than me and mm-hmm. how selfish that really felt. And so like I can choose to hate that for the rest of my life, or I can choose to be part of it and accept that and just let that be part of who I am. And I was in nursing school and didn't even really want to be a nurse. So like, mm-hmm. it's hard to get into nursing school and here I am. And so what am I going to do with this mm-hmm. degree? Right. And then found out about an opportunity to become a sexual assault nurse examiner and work with children who've been abused. And so I went to go work for my mom and dad at the Children's Advocacy Center and became their first full-time sexual assault nurse. And it wasn't even just that role. It was just being in this space that it was like, once you know, how do you not want to be part of that? And so just each of those moments, I felt like were shaping me into who I am today. And while I am not a practicing nurse anymore, and I have the burden and privilege to lead the agency, like I see how each of those parts of my life just were preparing me right. for where we are today.
Yeah. Kind of setting yourself up for success.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I remember when the board of directors at the time asked me if I was, my parents were looking at retiring and they asked me if I was willing to secede them. And I went, heck no, absolutely not. Like, do you know who my parents are? There's nobody that can follow those footsteps. Oh, like, there's no way I want to be compared to David and Beverly Engle. And I don't want the, and I also didn't want, well, she's getting this role because she's their daughter. I wanted to know that I earned it and I deserved it and that I was the right person to do that because that felt like a lot of pressure. And so I was adamant, I am not leading this agency. And here I am.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. Oh my, that is such a unique upbringing, you know, to be at the shelter, seeing what your parents do. You know, in another example, like if your dad was a firefighter and you want to work with your dad, or like in my case, my dad used to, back in the day, used to fix cash registers. So I remember going to work with him and he'd open up these and mechanically fix them. Mm. And then now, you know, I kind of take some of those things and I work on my car and I work things in the house, you know, but I can only imagine those experiences that you've had, seeing the help and impact you've made for anyone in that shelter. And now as an adult, you continuing that story from your parents.
Yeah.
That's really unique. So grateful for that.
Yeah. Thanks. It's pretty humbling.
Yeah. Well, as far as community support here in the Northwest Arkansas area, how much support do you get from the community, the Child Care Advocacy Center?
Yeah. So, I mean, Northwest Arkansas is an incredibly involved, generous. I mean, it's one of the top philanthropic communities in the nation. I believe there was some data that went out about just how philanthropic Northwest Arkansas is. And so, but you know, we live in an area where businesses, small and large, they want to give back and they care about community. And that's something I think I love so much about where we live, because it cares so much to try to maintain that family, like close community feel, even though we're getting so big. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people who are fighting for how do we maintain this and accept growth too.
Right.
And that's hard. It's hard to do, but it's worth fighting for. And I think that causes like ours are one way that we do that, because it is remembering to care about our neighbor and to see people and to remember that we're not all having the best day ever. And how can we meet people where they are and just try to be a support person.
For sure.
And so this community shows up by volunteering in various ways at our agency, but of course, sponsoring our fundraising events. So much of the mission of our agency has been changing a culture around trying to make sure our community understands like child abuse does exist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all these other issues, domestic violence, like they do exist and they are not okay. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have to accept that it's just part of growing up. Like that's not anything anybody should have to experience. Right. It's a choice that somebody is actively making. And so how do we as a community say, this is not okay, and we want to prevent it, but we also want to have the appropriate consequences when it happens.
Yeah, it's tough to kind of, even for me, right? You know, I mean, of course, crime happens, and, you know, people are evil, and they'll commit, you know, such atrocities to children, to women, to just people in general. So it's kind of hard to, at least in my head, to kind of accept that. And the fact that we can, at least here in our community, we have the ability to impact our neighbors, you know, even just help the unhoused individuals or just do something for our community. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people forget that we have that power still, even if it's a small impact for this person, or maybe to you, it's not maybe a big deal per se, but maybe to that person, it's everything. You know, you're stepping out of your comfort zone to help them. And I'm sure they're appreciative of that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's tough knowing that that happens in our area, because, you know, you would think, of course, how beautiful and privileged you are to live here. You wouldn't want those things to happen.
Absolutely.
So yeah, just knowing that we have that the ability here in our community to impact some people in some way. To people listening, you know, if you can impact someone around you, feel free to do it. You know, it'll go a long way, I think, in that person's life for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I will say, you know, one question that I'm curious about, Natalie, is over the years, what was something that has surprised you the most about the work that you do?
And I think the first thing that comes to the top of my mind is that I still am surprised at the ways that people harm others. Like, you think you've heard it all? I mean, I've been doing this professionally for 19 years and arguably my whole life, you know? But I think it still just blows my mind at how, people hurt another. And I think it does get frustrating that I've been in this as long as I have been. And sometimes I'm having the same conversations today that I had 19 years ago when I started in this, as far as like, we've learned so much and how are we still in this place? Like, our system has changed a lot and yet it has so much work it still needs to do. And that can feel really defeating because you're like, man, are we even moving the needle at all, to make sure that this system in place to protect people is what it needs to be? So I think that's what is just how hard it is to really seek organizational systemic change. It's hard.
No, and I can see that being a challenge, you know, because like you said, you've been doing it 19 years and then your parents did it. How long were they involved doing that?
Oh, goodness. I mean, they were in a ministry similar when we lived in Tulsa, but from the shelter side, that was 1989 when they started it. So, I mean, 30...
A very long time. And you would think that during that amount of time that there would be some sort of effect, I think, with what you're saying, you know, with the not hearing of the new types of abuse and whatnot. But, you know, I think with time, I think things will improve, right? I mean, for example, one impact is those people who have been there for a long time, they get the help they need after so much, and then they reach out to you and you know, give them your flowers, right? And so I think that same idea with what you're doing will eventually down the road will have a big impact with how things are.
It's, you forget the small wins and how important those are, because you look at all the things that still need to happen. But then you forget, like, but we have done this and we have done that. So yeah, it's this line of work, you have to remember where the victories are and you have to hold on to them really tight.
It's definitely a long-term, I say it's like long-term reward, I guess, is a way. Yeah. Not really a reward. Okay, yeah, long-term reward. But this question came from when you first mentioned about your parents moving to Northwest Arkansas. Do you know the reason why they moved from Tulsa to Northwest Arkansas?
They were seeking land to be able to open the shelter. So they knew in Tulsa that this was their passion and their heart. And so they had been looking in several different areas for land to be able to build this shelter. So they just so happened to find the perfect setting in Little Flock, Arkansas. And I mean, how do you argue with a name like that? Like, when you're seeking a shelter of refuge and you go to Little Flock, like, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. So there's 70 acres offering refuge to women and children right here in Little Flock, Arkansas.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Did not even know.
70, yeah. You said 70 acres? Right?
70 acres.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
I guess a question I have, what could we do, you know, us, like me, Juan Carlos, people listening or just people in our community, what can we do to help support your guys' mission, to help further that message of, hey, you know, we want to help women and children who are victims of abuse. What can we do to help further that for you guys?
Well, I think you're doing that just by having this podcast where it's sharing our mission and it's sharing the need that's in our community. I mean, so many people still say, oh, I've never heard of that. And both of you, I think, you know, are like, we're one of those. And yeah. So the more that people know about our mission, the more that we can affect change. And it's that ripple effect. And so by being able to share who we are with you and then the listeners, and then they're going to go and share with their networks, that recruits community advocates and volunteers and hopefully donors. I mean, not everybody has the financial resources, but we all have the ability to give of our time, our skill sets or resources. Absolutely. Of some way.
Definitely.
And so if you're not giving it to help your neighbor and therefore children, then I mean, what are we doing with our lives?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I want to give
my soapbox though.
and I want to give a big shout out to Chris Sparks for introducing Natalie and I to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Chris, thank you so much for connecting us. And I mean, this is amazing. So we just love our guests and just the connections they make with us. That's how this, honestly, what fuels this podcast is people really word of mouth. You know, I've reached out to some people to speak with, but it's amazing when a guest can recommend another guest for a cause or for an impact that they're doing and all that. And it's just, I really appreciate that. So Chris, thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Chris is one of our awesome board members. And so we wouldn't be able to do this work without our amazing board members who are giving voluntarily of their time to ensure that our mission is what it needs to be.
For sure. I think it just comes it speaks to what kind of person Chris Sparks is or people who are involved in general, right?
Yes.
Right. Just speaks to the kind of person they are from the heart, you know, from within. Yes. So yeah, shout out to everyone. Shout out Chris Sparks and all the people involved.
Yep. So Natalie, tell us, you know, what's a long-term vision for both the organizations, right? And what do you see it? How do you see it in the next years to come?
Well, as I mentioned, we have 70 acres that we're operating out of, and that is such a blessing and such a opportunity, especially now in Northwest Arkansas. And I know there was a little bit of question at one point of should we relocate? It was like, where do you move what we have and be able to maintain that? Like, we have mature trees and we have just this incredible nature, but it also is secluded, but it's not so far away that the commute is difficult. Mm-hmm. And so, my big vision for the Children and Family Advocacy Center is just how can we continue to utilize this gift that God has given us in these 70 acres and expand upon that holistic approach and just truly make this, a premier location that's a response to trauma in our area. Mm-hmm. And take what we've learned, take what we know, take the evidence-based practice that continues to evolve. And sometimes I just want to blow the roof off of literally of what we have and just say, if we could build it new today, taking all that on knowledge, what would we do differently? Mm-hmm. And how could we expand it? And how can it better meet the needs of today? And so, I mean, a lot of our buildings are 70 plus year old buildings, and some of them are being used in ways that they were never designed to be used. And so, one of our core values is excellence. And I want to see that even in the spaces that we're practicing from. And so would love to see that we can reimagine some of our building spaces to be able to serve our clients the way that they need to be.
Yeah. Are there ever any thoughts of not necessarily relocating? Because of course that space has had a huge impact on what you guys do. And of course, people who are there getting the help. Are there ever thoughts of maybe going into another city here in our area, or just sticking to the
And that's where, I mean, where else will we get that? Staying in a central location is really important for Benton County. We actually built a satellite location in Gentry. And so the western quarter of our county has better access to the resources now because we put a satellite right there in Gentry. So Siloam Springs, Gentry, Decatur, Gravett, Highfill,
right,
Sulphur Springs, all of those families now have that resource within 30 minutes or less drive.
Oh, that's incredible.
And so that made a big difference.
Right.
And so, but confidentiality of our work is so important. So you don't want to put a shelter like right in the middle of town. And you don't want a child abuse response agency because, I mean, as big as we are, we're still small. And, oh, hey, so-and-so's car is at, I mean, there's police at our agency every single day from various cities.
Right.
And so where it's at just gives that protection for confidentiality reasons.
Yeah, which I think is super important.
That also,
you know,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they're going through such a hard time. And of course, keeping their information and their themselves even private, I think, is that's huge for sure.
It is. I will say, you know, the tornado from May of 24 really did a number on us. And that's the one. The one disadvantage of having all that acreage and having all this mature woods is the high winds and the tornado knocked a lot of that down. And so a few of our resources that we had available to us at the time are not usable today. And so just kind of the other big dream is that we would be able to bring the machinery in to clear up some of that debris and get access again to the beautiful nature that we had before. So we have this beautiful spring fed pond that we no longer can use. And I mean, we had moms and their children fishing out of it. And I really want to be able to have that available to them again. We had hammocks down there. We had, you know, benches and picnic tables. Yeah. Like, just being out in nature, there's so much healing that can come from that.
Yes.
And that's such a huge piece of trauma healing. And I want to be able to provide that for them again.
For sure.
So it's a big dream.
So how exactly does it need to be fixed or repaired or removed? Is it really, you know?
It's just bringing the machinery that can get rid of the trees because it's a lot of down trees.
Okay.
And then the pond needs to be dug because of all of the...
The debris and stuff?
Yeah, all that's washed in from all those floods and all the rain and the wind. And so it's brought in a lot of stuff that just needs to be dug back out.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha.
So kind of pivoting here, kind of a little bit more on the personal side. You know, so you said you're a mother of...
Seven. Four at home.
Okay, four at home.
Yep.
Tell us, how do you maintain that balance between kids at the house, family, work? You know, you have, I'm sure it's emotionally heavy at work, and then you come home and have your family. Tell us a little bit about that. What are some secrets to keeping the balance?
You don't. So for anybody looking for the key, I don't have it.
Just some beach vacations.
First and foremost, boundaries. And I don't do that well. So it's hard. I don't know that there is I hear all this stuff about work-life balance. I don't believe in it. I don't know that you ever really truly find this great work-life balance. Yeah. I think sometimes you're killing it. Sometimes you're not.
Remember what Francisco said?
I was about to say what Francisco said, and it just really stuck. And he said work-life integration.
Yeah.
And a follow-up question to that was, you know, your children, you know, so you saw your parents work at the Restoration Village, right? At the shelter. And now your kids are seeing you work, in a sense, at the shelter. Do you feel like that they're having a similar upbringing to that you did? Or are they a little bit more... not as involved, but just kind of
So that is a really important thing that I've tried really hard to protect because I want them to be exposed. I think that it's healthy, but I don't want them immersed in it. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up literally in it. Mm-hmm. And that was the one thing that I said when I got married and when I had children and I was choosing this line of work, that I didn't want my family raised in it. Literally. I want my family raised around it.
Yeah.
And so we live close to it, but I don't live in it the way that I did growing up. And so, I mean, what's awesome is my 16-year-old daughter, one of her love languages is to cook. Mm-hmm. And, she likes to cook dinner and support the residential clients. Like they love to serve and they love to be part of it, but I've tried really hard for them to not feel like they came second to the mission. And I think for anybody in ministry or in nonprofit work, like, you're so passionate about it, which is great, but to the detriment of what? And I didn't want to sacrifice my family or my family to feel like they were sacrificed because of mom's passion and dedication. And yet, you know, here we were on vacation last week and work did follow me. Mm-hmm. And I did have to handle a few things. And so I tried really hard to prepare my kids, like, hey, I have to take a couple work calls or I have to do this. And this is why this is important, but it's not because it's more important than you. That's the biggest thing that I've really wanted my kids to feel, is that they were never second. Mm-hmm.
I think having that line of communication open with your family is super important. Yes. Because I think the way I grew up, I'm in a Hispanic household, you know, more often than not, your parents aren't that communicative with right. how they're feeling. They don't express themselves, I guess, in the way that maybe you have expressed to your children. So I think that's amazing. I mean, I think that can go such a long way, especially with them being on a younger age, and then that will translate into their adult life. So kudos to you for doing that with your children. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely something that future parents should do. Shout out Diego, my younger brother, if you're listening. There you go.
Diego's famous in here. And
Well, Diego, the only reason I say it is that he's actually in the hospital right now, waiting for his daughter to be born.
Reason.
Yeah, good reason. Yeah.
It's exciting.
Good reason. Yeah. So, I'm happy for him. So
we got to tell Christian.
Oh, yo, we do have to tell Christian. That's right. Yeah. Well, the reason I got confused was Christian is also the name of his girlfriend's mom.
Oh,
I saw. So I was like, how do you know Christian?
Oh, yes.
But you're talking about Christian Saavedra. I was like, how do you know her?
Yeah.
That's what I was like, whoa. But, well, anyways, what innovations or maybe partnerships or maybe some sort of opportunities are up and coming that you are most excited about here currently?
Well, fun fact, I'm working with an individual at Awesome a partnership that a big part of their program is getting their students into the community and serving. And because they want their doctors to not just be like, how well did you do in the classroom, but how well did you serve your community?
100%.
And I love that.
Oh my gosh. And so, that's like music to my ears.
Right. And so one of their staff knows about our agency and was like, hey, would you want to go into an agreement to where our students could work with? I'm like, that's a no. Like, who says no to that?
Yeah.
So that one's one I'm really, really excited about that we're finalizing right now. And it's, I don't think it has to be a secret. So that's a big one.
So cool.
The Children and Family Advocacy Center it exists and it's an expert in collaboration. Mm-hmm. We partner with all of our local law enforcement agencies, other nonprofits. Like, we are successful when we work together. And so I'm really just proud of all of the other nonprofit agencies that we work with. And one in particular is we collaborate with the Children's Safety Center of Washington County, mm-hmm. who does the same work we do, but for Washington County. The only difference is they don't have the shelter side.
Right.
And then there's the Northwest Arkansas Center for Sexual Assault, which responds to all forms of sexual violence, so trafficking as well, for adults. And so we partner with these other two nonprofits to provide the medical component to Northwest Arkansas.
Right.
So we collaborate on it with a team of nurses who are highly specialized to meet the needs of these clients. They're at our agency so that they're not mm-hmm. having to go to the hospital or go to the emergency room. So all medical needs can be addressed at our agency through this collaborative effort of bringing these 20-ish nurses together. So that's a pretty cool
partnership. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
I really like that component of having, you know, the future doctors and nurses have community interaction, because you're serving people. I think there should be a time where you're actually out and having that experience, because a lot of times you people don't, and they don't know how to interact with people, they don't know how to read people at home, and I just think that's such an important quality to have.
Absolutely.
Or skill.
Yep.
Yeah. Natalie, in the podcast, we want to appreciate and shout and give a shout out to our guest. But is there anyone that you'd like to recognize or thank who has shaped the person you are today? You know, give that opportunity to you to see if there's anyone that you want to mention, a family friend, a mentor, or anything like that, that you want to just highlight for a sec.
I mean, the first person is definitely my mother, Beverly Engle. You know, she didn't have a degree to do what she did, and she just had a heart to love people and to see people. And you know, I have a thing that I often say is that if you're sensitive enough to see the need, then may you be strong enough to respond. And that's exactly what my mom did. And so I have always been inspired by my mom and of course my dad, but we lost my dad this year. That's been really hard. You know, and so just to see the resilience in my mother and just trying to push forward and remember that there's still things to live for and things to be here for, but, just to watch her strength, but also her vulnerability, that has been really inspiring. And so I think to get a moment to give somebody a call out, my mom is definitely the one that deserves that.
Yeah.
And here I'm crying on a podcast, y'all. I don't cry.
Yeah, no. But we think, I think it's important to highlight the people who have such a huge impact on you. And for me, I can appreciate that you shouted out your mom, because I would do the same thing if I were in your position, sitting where you're at right now. I would give a shout out to my mom, you know. I think moms make the world go round. I mean, they give you your life. They raise you, you know. Yeah. So for me, I hold mothers at a very, very high regard. Yeah. Any mother, not just my own, of course.
Yeah.
Maybe mine a little bit higher. but
well, good.
Yeah, but yeah, no.
I think in this line of work, I want to celebrate good mamas. You know, we see a lot of ugly. And so good mamas are critical and important. And, but I also, I have to give a shout out to my leadership team. I work with 5 incredible women who show up every day to do really hard work.
Right.
And so Brooke, Kathy, Melanie, Erin, and Early, they're my rock stars. They're my rocks in this work. I could not do this without them and just really, really thankful for my team.
Yeah. Hurricane Erin, huh?
Hurricane Erin. I love you.
That's funny. So we're coming up here on the end of the podcast, and you know we're huge advocates of NWA Northwest Arkansas, you know, all the good things that we have here. If you have any family or friends that are coming here for the first time, they've never been here before, what would you say about Northwest Arkansas, and where would be the first place that you take them?
I would tell them, advocating for how much I love this area, but what I love, I would 100% take him to downtown Rogers. That's where we would go hang out. I think it's a great family environment, but it also is creating an awesome adult scene as well.
Yeah.
And so both can live together. And so there's great restaurants, both high end and just casual, affordable dining, but you can catch the live music. There's great coffee shops. There's outdoor, indoor, great breweries. Like downtown Rogers is, I think, just such a beautiful space. It's a great place to live, play, and be.
Yeah, I agree. I think for a long time, I think when I was in high school, a lot of people, at least in my friend group or people that I knew, would say that they didn't really like how downtown Rogers was. Because for a while,
there's a lot of us oldies who hate the changes. Yeah.
For a long time, you know, I think people felt that it wasn't where it could be at. And I think, in my opinion, now I see how much it's grown in downtown Rogers. Yeah. I think it's just a huge benefit for people who love to be enjoying the local amenities, restaurants, and just have something to do, you know, on the weekend or even in the evening.
Yep.
I'm assuming, are you a fan of the growth in downtown Rogers?
I am. No, I understand that it probably took getting used to. Because it is such a change from what it was.
Oh, for sure.
And change is hard. Like, let's just accept nobody loves change, even though we accept it and we know it's a reality, but we can't all just say, oh, we love change. It's how you adapt to it. And when you can't control it or influence it, people probably resist it even more if they didn't have any say in it.
Right.
And so, but I appreciate it. I understand it, and I respect the changes. And I think it's a great space.
Good old downtown Rogers.
Yeah.
My fiance's parents, we I'll join them sometimes, but whenever they have that live music, they'll always go and they'll bring their lawn chairs and everything.
Yeah, that's a cool little rail yard. Yeah.
I think it's cool. Great. Yeah. I mean, it's free, right? From my
It's free. Kids can play at the rail yard park, which is an awesome park.
It is an awesome park.
And so the kids play there. Parents can enjoy live music. You can bring your beverages. You can go to a restaurant and you can even walk around with it. I mean, like, who are we?
I think it's just cool that we have that access in our community, just especially so close. Like, my parents' house is maybe not even 10 minutes from there. And the same thing for my fiance's. I think pre-rage were maybe 15-ish minutes or even less. So the quick access to it for sure is definitely a plus, in my opinion.
100%.
So, Natalie, what would be one of your favorite Northwest Arkansas spots that you had to recommend, like your favorite coffee shop or restaurant or brewery? Anything? Where will we find you and your family on the weekends?
Well, I've already mentioned the rail. So
Pizza
and wings. So I've already mentioned that one. So the other thing I think I would mention is we love Ozark Brewery. Ozark Brewery. Great food trucks there all the time, but it's just such a great, just help. It's still just a really healthy atmosphere.
It is.
That's a great spot for a weekend.
It's always full there on the weekends.
It is.
So full.
Yeah. Give a shout out to my favorite Hannah, who works there.
I love it.
My husband, Kevin, and I, we enjoy going there. The kids are just kind of used to it. They're like, all right, here we go.
The location.
They'll get their juice boxes, and the location's so pretty. Be outside or inside. We held my husband's retirement from the fire department there. Mm. He threw a surprise 40th birthday for me there. So that's got to be the spot I got.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's how do I say it? What am I trying to say? It's I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm in a blank right now. What I'm trying to say is that it's kind of like a sweet spot, but I'm not trying to say it in that way.
Like a staple.
A staple.
Honestly, Ozark Brewery is a lot of people give them their flowers. It's such a great location. Big enough for a party, if you're with quite a few people. You're right. They have a great food truck. Usually, they rotate their food trucks. I mean, and then it's close to everything else in downtown. Yes. If you felt like, you can bar hop or whatever.
Yeah,
it is, and it's family friendly too.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not anything. Yeah, it's just like the old mill. You know what I mean? So location wise, everything
you did a much better job saying what I wanted to say.
Thank you.
I hit a weird blank
there. I'm reading your, we're going out. How do you say, like, read each other's like mind or senses or something like
that? You sense my frequency. So you figured it out. There you go.
So
Natalie, so Mr. Keegan, his question to you was, how are you getting people in your community involved?
So
I think the question was pretty
set up I'm on the city council for Little Flock, and so and I'm on several boards, and so I'm always advocating for find what your passion is and find a way to use that, whether it's through volunteer service. Like, we don't have to always have the job. And so when our job doesn't necessarily allow us to exercise those passions, I promise there's a way to do that. And so our community is always needing people who care. So get plugged in various ways. But I mean, of course, I've got a great nonprofit for people to get involved in as well. So,
and Keegan, he is actually the planning director for P-Ridge.
Awesome.
So he has that community mindset, because he does that a lot with the city. So shout out to Keegan.
Yeah, and he had no idea that would be.
I love that.
I just lined up. I feel like that's happening more often. Like the question somehow always lines up with the next guest's topic or their life story.
Funny enough, we don't even know
because
sometimes if someone cancels or we don't know who the next guest might be, and it really just lines up perfectly. But Natalie, now it's your turn to leave a question for our next guest, whoever that would be.
Oh.
And it can be anything, big or small.
I would ask your next guest, what is something that they're really passionate about, that if they could do it for the rest of their lives without pay, what would they do?
Mm-hmm. What is it really passionate about?
Someone out there is going to say sleeping.
I mean... But I could do that some days.
Hey, nothing wrong with getting a little extra sleep.
Yeah. Well, Natalie, we have arrived to the end of our episode here on the podcast. We really want to thank you for your time. Enrique, thank you for your time too. Where can we find more information if needed? I'm sure you guys have a website, things like that.
Yes. So our website is the initials of our agency. So Children Family Advocacy Center. So CFAC.
Okay.
Benton Co. Because we serve Benton County. .com. And so yes, we have Facebook, we have Instagram, our website, and all of the ways that somebody can plug in are listed out on our website. We've got wish list items that we put on there of like, if somebody's like, hey, I don't want to just give random dollars, but you need blankets, I can do that. You need toilet paper, I can do that.
Yeah,
we maintain a wish list needs as well.
Okay.
Is that where someone can also sign up? Let's say they want to do volunteer work.
Yes. So our application for volunteer work is on there. If people want to be on the board, there's an application for our board of directors. Of course, if you're interested in a position, we do have 9 open positions right now. And so the application for that and the job descriptions are on our website. Mm. And so, but if you're also looking for resources, so if you have a listener who finds themselves in a situation of what we serve, there's also resources on our website that could help them as well. Awesome.
Incredible. Well, yeah, Natalie, again, thank you so much for your time. We're super grateful again. Again, I said this in the beginning, but time is so important, super valuable. We don't get our time back. So thank you for sharing your time with us. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for sharing the stories of Northwest Arkansas. It's really powerful.
It's been a passion. It's been fun. It's been a blessing. Sure. And just the people have blessed. And I think, you know, speak for Enrique too, has just blessed us tremendously.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
It's opened up our hearts, our minds to just more.
You know,
it's just really impacted us a lot. And it's not something I expected initially, but it's been something, it's been a great ride. So Natalie, your stories and what you do, it continues to change us. So thank you.
Absolutely.
And audience here, thank you guys for tuning in. Of course, you guys can find us on Instagram. Yeah, so NWA podcast. And I'll link all the items here on our podcast for Natalie when that time comes. So folks, have a great day and we'll talk to you soon.